I mean, I saw Hideo Kojima, like, make this tweet about how, like, the one character in, like, Metal Gear Solid 5, he's, like, pushing the art director who's somebody to make her, like, what, sexier? Or
more erotic.
Interesting choice of words. Well, see, that's the thing, though. It's not his choice of words, because I don't understand how his English Twitter profile works. Is it somebody translating it? Does he have a basic grasp of English? But the point is, like, you know, a lot of people would want to get mad, but, I mean, you know, it's Hideo Kojima, it's Japanese. I mean, we've already been through this with the, like, the Dragon's Crown thing. We, like, wanted to shove their noses in it. Like, shame on you. They didn't care. They didn't apologize. They didn't change anything.
So you're saying all Japanese people are perverts?
Well, yes, but, I mean, at the same time, they also seem to be okay with it. And it's like, ah, fine, what, you know, do your thing, Japan.
But the justification is that he's doing it to encourage cosplay.
I mean,
so does Kojima just want to see a bunch of scantily clad women?
I don't know. Hey, you were at the Comic-Con. You saw the cosplay. Not always with the most flattering forms and figures, but...
So we shouldn't want this.
Well, I don't know. Keep in mind, this character is also, like, deaf. Or not deaf,
she's mute.
She's mute. So she's a scantily clad girl who can't talk back. It must be...
Is Snake going to go up there and tell her to shut up and make him a sandwich?
Like, honestly, yeah, that's going to be bad. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for September 4th, 2013.
Wow, you didn't even look at the calendar.
I was concentrating so hard.
I'm surprised. Like, usually after we finish the intro, you, like, pause, yeah, you look at the calendar. Like, you went right into us like, oh no.
It's going, it's happening, you can't stop me now. Hello, it's Mike, and there's AJ.
Hello.
We've got video games to talk about. So we got a couple things that we're going to lead off with. Mighty Number 9, the Mega Mans, that isn't the Mega Mans. Xbox One has a release date, so we'll talk some next gen stuff because, you know, it's getting kind of close. Really, like, we're 2 months away from, yeah, like, being that month where, like, oh, certain systems are coming out. So that'll be happening. Then we'll talk about our weekend gaming, Final Fantasy 14. We've been playing more of.
We're starting it.
Yeah, I can talk about Killzone now. Then we look at what's been happening in the Google Plus community. We've kind of been talking about, like, the Dick Wolf thing, like. Almost came up again, but it's interesting. But then we'll do the releases, and that'll be the show. So let's talk about Mighty Number 9, because a lot of people kind of expected me to be really excited about this.
I did.
And my first reaction was kind of to be a little weirded out.
Just because it's literally Mega Man?
Well, that's the thing. Like, it is Mega Man. Like, you almost wonder legally, like, is this okay? Because, I mean, you know, he defended himself, like, saying, look, it's going to look nice, AJ.
What the hell was that?
That's your score update over there on your iPhone.
I'll go get it.
But my thing with it is I get the art style is going to be same because, you know, he has a style. That's fine. But, I mean, come on, it's about a little robot guy. He can get powers. And, like, they even, like, show, like, some, like him jumping, and it's the same exact, like, jump pose and stuff. Like, it's supposed to be Mega Man.
Well, I like how, instead of Mets, there's, like, guys with construction cones on their
head. And, I mean, you can't call it a ripoff, because, like, you know, that's what he wants to do. And, like, I get it, like, the idea is, like, you know, Capcom's not doing anything Mega Man, so he's gonna do it. But it still weirds me out in a kind of way. And, you know, there's part of me just wish, like, you know, I wish this could just be a Mega Man game, because that's what I want.
Well, I find it fascinating that Capcom cancels, like, 3 Mega Man games, and then he leaves Capcom and is making a Mega Man game.
Right, and...
So it makes me think, like, he's been really wanting to do something, and Capcom's like, meh.
And, like I say, like, even though at first I was, like, kind of weirded out by it, like, looking at it, it does look pretty cool.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be great.
And what I like about the most is just that the reaction to it has been... I mean, it's already well overfunded. It's,
Do you feel like Capcom's like, shit?
It should be. I mean, it's at 157,000... I mean, yeah,
1.5 million.
1.6 million, if we round up. With 27 days to go.
Yeah.
So things gonna,
it's pretty good.
So it's like, yeah, maybe we should make a Mega Man game, because, you know, the people are paying for their own now. It's like, seriously, and I've said that before, that I think Mega Man has, like, some of the best fans in video games. This kind of proves it. Like, you know, they're putting up their money for it. Like, yeah, we'll make our own Mega Man game, whatever kind of thing. I mean, and I kind of said this before where I think KJ Inafune gets maybe too much credit for Mega Man.
How so, Socrates?
Well, he's not like the Mario. He's not like the Shigeru Miyamoto of Mega Man. Like, he's not like, he didn't like completely invent him himself and program everything. He just like, it was a guy who was in, he was heavily involved with almost every game in the series, and he was kind of the one guy who always was there. He kind of never left. He was the Mega Man guy, but like I said, he's not like the Walt Disney of Mega Man.
Right.
It's kind of my thing. Like, I don't know if, like, the entire reason that Mega Man's so great is because of this guy. And, you know, not to be down on Keiji Inafune, but... And, I don't know, we said earlier how, you know, we're done with Kickstarter because the Broken Age thing kind of left a bad taste in our mouth. Do you want to fund this?
No, again, because I've kind of become kind of anti-video game Kickstarter, and it's going to happen, so I'll just buy it when it comes out.
Yeah, let's see, like, again, like, Parmi wants to put some money into it just to show support, because...
But it's already supported, like...
Well, I know,
doesn't need that, I don't know.
Again, though, it's like, again, and part of it would be like, oh, basically pre-ordering it.
I also hate, too, that it has stretch goals. Like...
Yeah, well...
Make the game.
Yeah, I guess. I don't like stretch goals a whole lot. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, like, one of the last stretch goals is just, like, console versions.
Well, again, I'm going to go on a little Kickstarter tangent, I guess, but, like, I got an email update about that Republic game for iOS, which I completely forgot about. Like, I backed it and everything. But I'm almost annoyed, because, like, one of the things I liked about the game was, in their original pitch, it was going to be, like, all static backgrounds with 3D characters, kind of like original Resident Evil, but done today, which I thought was great for an iOS game. Apparently, they shifted for that. It's all real-time, and I actually don't like that.
Wow.
So, like, again, this is why I'm kind of done with Kickstarter.
That's the thing, too. Like, there's not a lot of actual game to show. Like, they can't show anything. There's a lot of concept. And, like, the concept stuff looks great. It looks like a living cartoon. Is Mighty No. 9 really going to look like that?
I didn't watch the pitch video. Is there, like,
it's mostly him talking. Gameplay? No, not... I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing because it is a lot of Inafune kind of just talking.
Mm-hmm.
Kickstarter, I don't know. I mean, it seems like this one's doing well. I'll tell you what, like, we didn't talk about it, but that... The precursor game Kickstarter for Shadow of the Eternals did not even just kick this ass. Yeah, but again, it's like the thing. Look, you know, Mega Man fans—they don't hate Mega Man, and they kind of, like I said, they put like Inafune is kind of seen as like the good guy because I mean there had to be some political thing. Like he left, and I, from what I heard, like there was some like I guess a lot of the Japanese companies are family owned. The Japanese, and I guess the Capcom family kind of thought that Inafune was maybe a little. Getting a little too big.
Oh, really?
Which might be part of the reason why he's kind of outed. And I don't know why, like, that had to turn into, like, we're going to cancel our Mega Man games that'll show him. But.
I just think, like, it's just funny how blatant it is. Like,
I mean,
couldn't you pick a different color? Even he's blue. Right.
I mean, it's the same exact dimensions. He looks a lot like Mega Man. I mean, it is Mega Man. And that's what kind of weirds me. And it's funny
like, honestly, this could have been, like, this game could have been from Capcom called, like, Mega Man Future Force.
Well,
and, like, I would be like, oh, that's, like, the new design of
Mega
Man.
Right, because, like, you know, there's been a lot of Mega Mans now. Mega Man, Classic, X, Legend, XY, or whatever, those weird ones. But, so, it is kind of, like, the weird thing. It's, like, because it could be a spinoff, but it's not, it's harder to find. But, you know, if it's a cool 2D side-scroller that plays, like, a Mega Man game... You know, I'm glad we're getting it.
Wouldn't it be really funny if, like, Capcom stepped in and, like, we'll give you the Mega Man license and we'll fund this ourselves?
I still want... They have to be looking and saying, like, can we stop this? Because it's awfully similar. There's got to be a point, right, where it's like... Where it's like you got... And it's like those people making Retro City Rampage. Like, there had to be a point where, like... Well, because that was originally just a... Like, a 16-bit deconstruction of, like, Grand Theft Auto 3. I think that's what it literally was.
Right.
It's like, remember if people were trying to do that with Ocarina of Time? They're like trying to just make like that's like a that was like a trend. That's how you had retro
D-makes,
yeah. Yeah, the D-makes, that's the word I'm looking for. But I don't know. Good luck, I guess.
I'm sure it'll be fine. It's gonna come out.
I'm sure it'll be well, that's the other thing too, is that at least like they're saying it's not coming out until 2015.
That long.
Yeah, they're like not even pretending like it's gonna come out next year or something, you know? So I don't know, I kind of do want it back, just because, again, Mega Man, I like Mega Man. But yeah, a lot of people kind of seem surprised that, like, I wasn't fully on board with this. It is a little weird to me. Okay, Xbox One, November 22nd. I mean, you always know it's going to be November.
Yeah. I mean, it's just funny, because there's a pretty strong rumor for a while that it was going to be on the 8th.
Yeah,
and then it's ended up being, instead of a week before the PS4, it's a week after.
I mean, do you think it matters a whole lot? Do you think it's that close? Who's first?
I think it can. between the, like, I feel like the Xbox One coming out first wouldn't have been too big a deal, but I feel like it coming out second is, because now the PS4 is earlier and cheaper. Mm-hmm. I feel like that might be enough of a 1-2 punch to give them an edge.
So you think of, like, somebody's really on the fence, like, they're like, well, I can get this one a week earlier.
And it's $100 cheaper, right. Like, I feel like the week earlier might have put them a little more even, because you'd be like, well, it's only $100, but I kind of want this now. Mm-hmm. Like, right. Like, you know, that early adopter techno lust set saying, like, oh, I'll swing the extra $100. But now, if you get that PS4 and you really like it, you may be less swayed to get an Xbox One right away.
Mm-hmm. You think it was weird that this was just kind of announced? Like, there wasn't any real event or anything.
Yeah, it's strange, because there just was an event.
Yeah. Right, yeah. They could have announced this at, whatever, Gamescom, but no.
You also, did you notice that they announced that with production, they upped the processor by another, like, 150 megahertz or something?
Whatever you can fit in there.
Whatever, yeah.
So, what do you think is going to sell better this year?
PlayStation 4. Probably PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
I'll be frank about it. I mean, I'm kind of on the Xbox One bandwagon at the moment, but I'll concede the PS4 will probably ultimately do better to start.
Well, you see the rumors that apparently Sony's working on a virtual reality kind of
like
thing.
Like the Oculus Rift.
I assume that's what. I assume they're trying to get on that bandwagon. And won't that be a big deal? Whoever does that first, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's an unproven market. Like,
yeah, but
a lot of the developers and press are really stoked about the Oculus Rift. But even there, like, every Oculus Rift article I've ever read is like, it's amazing, it was so cool, it's like I was there, but I was nauseous at the end.
Not
but
really.
Yeah, it was still sweet.
Yeah.
The general public accept that, I wonder.
I don't know. People are talking about getting sick from the 3DS, and that was never a thing with me. So some people just seem to have low constitutions.
Yeah, I mean,
you nerds.
I feel like I'm the person who would put on an Oculus Rift for 8 hours and be like, I feel fine.
Right. I mean, maybe not that much. But I mean, it's like, you know, as far as gimmicks go, that's kind of the next thing, right? Now that we have the technology for the lightweight VR.
Yeah.
Because that was always the reason you couldn't do it.
Because a VR headset weighed like 50 pounds.
It was just too much.
I mean, the ones at Disney Quest when you wear are literally suspended from cables to reduce their weight.
And I mean, whoever, I don't know if it'll catch on and be the next big thing, but I think whoever of the three does it first will get some mileage out of it. If that
Very
makes
possible.
Sense.
I wonder if it wouldn't be Microsoft's interest to just kind of say, like, the Xbox One supports the Oculus Rift, and just leave it to
that?
Them.
Doesn't sound like them. These are the guys who have they won't let you do that with headsets. You have to buy their headset.
Well, maybe they just buy Oculus.
Well, okay.
And let it be a Windows/Xbox thing.
Well, okay, maybe, but there's no indication that that'll happen.
No, but again, I mean, companies buying tech startups is not uncommon. They just bought Nokia.
Right, well, I wonder how much Nokia went for these days. Probably not.
Less than Skype.
Yeah. I think Oculus Rift is probably a pretty expensive thing right now. I think Microsoft would just make their own.
It's possible.
I don't think they would just buy Oculus Rift. But the point is that even if they did right now, it seems like if we were to believe this rumor, Sony would come out with something first. And again, it's like, you know, they're going to kind of look. It was like, because it was weird with the Kinect boost, because we never really saw something like that where like a peripheral really boosted something so much. Maybe you want to argue the Wii Fit board. Right. You see some of the Pokemon stuff announced today?
Yeah, so Mega Evolutions for the original starters.
What's interesting is that, I guess, like, when you start the game, along with the new starters, you can actually pick one of the original three.
Which, like you said, like, you probably should pick the new ones because they're new, but, like, nostalgia's saying, but you want Squirtle, don't you?
I want to do the new ones. I think there's, sometimes you kind of get too nostalgic with the Pokemon.
Well, we can do our old trick where someone starts the game 6 times and we get all the starters
right.
And trade
them. Oh my god, that was obnoxious. And, you know, I have to say, like, the Mega Evolution thing is kind of neat, but it kind of worries me, too. Because, like, how many Pokemon are going to be able to do Mega Evolutions?
So, explain the Mega Evolutions going to be.
Understand exactly.
They're, like, temporary?
Yeah,
or?
It's not like they don't evolve, like, Charizard will not permanently evolve to Mega Charizard. It's like, if he holds an item, then, while he's holding that item, then in that battle, like, at the start of battle, he'll turn into Mega Charizard. And then, like, at the end of the battle, he turns back.
So he essentially is Mega Charizard.
I don't know.
Is it instant?
I don't know if it works constantly all the time or what. So I don't quite understand. But my problem is, like, well, if these, because, like, some of these, like, Mega Pokemon have, like, pretty intense abilities. Like, I think it was, I think, like, Mega Venusaur is, like, he
is resistant to fire.
Yeah, he's resistant to fire. I'm like, oh, cool. I mean, well, what do you do?
Yeah.
And that's, like, that's kind of, like, the thing. It's like, well, is it, are you going to be, like, really handicapped if you don't happen to have a team that doesn't have Mega Pokemon in it?
Yeah, like, is it going to be required to be competitive that you have all Mega?
Well, that's kind of the nice thing. Like, I never really, it's not like...
Yeah, like, we care, but...
Yeah, because when I play, I never, like, go, like, oh, man, I'm going to fight random people in Pokemon battles online. I never do that. I just play through the game. I beat the Elite Four. I'm like, I won Pokemon. Like, I never use the Legendary Pokemon because it always feels like cheating to me.
Right.
Kind of dumb. It's like, oh, I caught this level 70 super awesome thing. And of course, I can win now.
Yeah.
Right, you know.
Oh, I got a Mewtwo.
Right. I mean, it's like, it seems like the Meg... I hope it's cool, but it does seem like they're doing it for the sake of doing something.
Yeah.
It's like, something must be done. We'll make cool Mewtwo. Also, I like how, like, the Charizard looks pretty cool. The Mega Charizard, I mean, like, the Mega Blastoise just has, like, a longer cannon. And, like,
he's got ones coming out of his wrist.
Yeah, he's got that, too. But Mega Venusaur, like, just has another flower.
Got more leaves, he bitches! He does not
look too Mega.
But he has thick fat, so that's why he absorbs the fire.
He does seem to be overpowered.
Yeah, so they also announced a, like, cloud storage companion app. At first, like, all the headlines are annual fee. I'm like, oh, fucking hell, Nintendo. But then you get to the bottom of all these articles, it's like, it's $5 a year. I was like, oh.
Right.
No, it's not bad.
A year, like, how many years are you going to need it?
Right. But I mean, at first, I was like, why do I need cloud storage for my Pokemon? Like, am I logging into other DSs? I didn't get it. But I guess the reason you'd get this is because it'll let you take Pokemon from Black and White and Black and White 2
right.
and put them into the 3DS
again,
version.
I never move my Pokemon to the next game.
Yeah, I think I did that once with one of them and never again.
Because it's like, again, it's like I want to play it like I am this kid going on a Pokemon adventure and I'm going to, like, start from scratch.
I guess
if you're if you caught all the Pokemon in the last one, and, like, you want to, like, fill up your Pokédex.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could see it for wanting to catch them all, but...
Right, but, I mean, the catch them all boat has long since sailed for me.
Yeah,
There's too many to catch.
I am the rock in that thing. I did catch all 151, and then I did read somewhere it's, like, 380... What is it?
No, much more than that.
Oh, whatever.
I think we're getting to the 600s now.
Oh, jeez.
If that.
That's a bit excessive.
Yeah, it's like, you know, how many Pokémon do we really have time to catch? Come on, guys. That's coming out next month. That'd be crazy.
That is crazy.
Like $1 zillion.
Coming out with the 2DS.
And the bundles. 3DS XL bundles.
Yeah.
Which don't come with the game, I think, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just, they just are decorative.
Oh, that's lame.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
I'm happy with my black 3DS.
Yeah, me too. Alrighty. Want to talk about Final Fantasy XIV?
Yeah, I could play it now. Hooray!
Yeah, I was surprised, because they did, like, a big patch, and the server was down for, like, 6 hours.
Like 12 hours.
Yeah, or whatever. Yesterday. And I was like, oh, it's probably still not going to work. It actually worked. You can log in now.
Like, there's queues, but there's queues.
Yeah,
so
and you
don't
have very long. So, that's why National Nightmare was over. It was pretty bad.
I managed to get in, like a couple times before this maintenance happened.
Yeah, well, like, I would always be able to get in. It would just take me, like, 30 minutes of, like, logging in.
You got in because you would, like, log in at, like, 12 o'clock noon. And that's fine. I would try to log in after 5.
It would be, like, almost impossible.
It was impossible. Like, literally what I resorted to the day I finally got in and played a lot, I woke up for work at 7 in the morning, logged in, and left it there all day.
Because they don't
kick
you for being AFK, which is weird.
I honestly thought they'd put that in with this patch.
I guess that's a bizarre holdover from the original Final Fantasy XIV, because apparently you could, like, set up a store.
Yeah, which was in 11, but A, that's not in this game. So
I don't know.
B, like, I was just, it was stupid to begin with. They never really did anything for it.
They fixed it. So, the server problem. So now we can just kind of celebrate the game, which I am really, really liking. There's just so many cool little touches and things going on.
You know, like a lot of people claim it's not super evolutionary. Like, it's still a hotbar MMO.
It is.
But I feel in much the way that WoW streamlined EverQuest. In a weird way, I feel like this is doing that to WoW.
Yeah, and even, like, more so, that's kind of what we said with Guild Wars 2, but this is even more streamlined than Guild Wars.
Well, Guild Wars did flip the script a little bit, like a limited number of abilities at any given time and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
and this doesn't do that necessarily, although the ability list doesn't get crazy.
Yeah, it's manageable.
Like, it's just, this is the way that, like, the game is constantly giving you ways to level up, but you never just grind mobs for no reason. It's always like you're doing a regular quest, or you have, like, this hunting log that you want, that, you know,
which kills, is grinding mobs, but with a little more purpose.
But it has a purpose, and it has bonus XP.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And then there's these other things like guild leaves, which are kind of like,
they're your daily quests.
Yeah, basically. They're kind of daily quests, and you can use those to kind of get experience, gold, and points for your grand company, which is kind of like, it's like a reward system for like getting special armor, and it's how you get your first chocobo.
Oh, so it's
like
rep.
Yeah, it's kind of like rep. It's kind of like, there's things like this in a lot of these games. Yeah, it's like the extra currency.
Yeah,
if you will.
Because I didn't get that. Yeah. I'm doing guild leaves, but I don't have a grand company yet. So.
And then there's the guild heists, which are like very small kind of like instances where it's like four people will go fight one boss.
Yeah, it literally teams you up with a tank, two DPSs, and a healer. Right.
And then there's always like, and then there are like actual dungeons that will take like an hour to complete, and those are always rewarding you very well. And then there's the fates, which are kind of the spontaneous quests, which are real. They reward you really well because they give you good XP, pretty good gold, and they give you the grand company.
Oh, do credits.
That? Yeah, once okay, you unlock that. So you're kind of, you're never really in a rut, really, and you're kind of always...
There's always something to do.
Yeah.
Even when you log into the game, there's that recommended quest
which is
that comes
cool.
up,
yeah,
which I
it tells you, like, what maybe you should do. Like, hey, there's a fate near you, and
you have this quest this that's nearby, so you can go do that if you want.
Yeah. And, you know, it's weird because the big Crystal of Fantasy 11 was, like, it was so complicated, and it was kind of slow, and this is nothing like that. Mm-hmm. This is very fast and very user-friendly. Like, because there's, like, a main story quest line, and it always kind of guides you to, like, the next thing you unlock. So, like, when you need to get... it'll kind of lead you to a point where you explore the other cities, and it'll kind of lead you to a point where you get your chocobo and learn about materia and stuff like that. And it seems like every five levels there's kind of a new system you unlock, like getting a grand company or getting a chocobo. And I just, like, got this thing where my chocobo can now fight with me.
Yeah,
and
which is cool.
And he can be, like, a tank or a healer or something like that. And just, like, some of the cinematic stuff with it, like, I don't think it's a spoiler. Like, one of the first big, like, instant boss fights is against Ifrit. And it's, like, this really cool thing. And it's, like, one big story moment. And all it is, you know, you don't have to go fight trash mobs for this. I mean, even though there are dungeons like that, but this one, you just fight Ifrit.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. It's this really cool boss fight. And it's really cinematic. And it's just going, like, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's fun, you know?
Now, what I was impressed with, well, first of all, just now, because you got it to go with your review, you also have access to the PS3 version, which we dabbled with in the beta, too. I mean, it doesn't look as good,
obviously. It doesn't look as good. I mean, it's impressive that it works as well as it does. Like, the biggest thing with me is, like, selecting enemies is kind of a hassle with the controller.
Yeah, you get the hang of it, but
like,
yeah, it could
yeah,
be better.
Using abilities is fine, but yeah, that's my only thing. Like, it works, but I would never prefer to play like this.
Mm-hmm. But I was impressed to watch you... Because you just got your Thaumaturge level 30.
Right.
So you went to an archer to get to 15 so you can get your job.
And the whole thing of, like, you can change your class at any time is so nice. Like, you don't have to make a million alts and stuff like that.
But I was very impressed with how it handles that. Because I wondered, like, I thought to myself, if you go back to level 1, you've done all your quests already, though. So, like, how are you going to get XP?
And like we said before, there are so many other things to do besides questing, but it gives you an experience bonus based on how far apart your
highest level and your lowest level.
Right,
are.
Exactly. So it kind of pushes you along and stuff like that. And another cool system is that there are certain skills you learn from one class that you can use in another class.
Mm-hmm. Cross-class skill.
So there's like a benefit of like getting these other classes. And again, like, and then like the gathering and crafting things are like their own classes again. And those are like, you know, like crafting the game, it's like a game onto itself. It like has a hotbar and there's like abilities you learn as you level up.
I haven't done that yet.
And it's neat. And there are even like daily quests involving that stuff.
Yeah, leaves and stuff
like
for gathering and crafting.
Yeah, like, yo, deliver these kind of things and stuff like that. It's really pretty nice. Another thing, I just, aesthetically, the game is so nice.
So they give you some BS armor when you're low level.
Well,
I was wearing oven mitts and bikini shorts.
Yeah, you know. But I mean, just like, graphically it looks great, but the art style, it's so nice to play an MMO where the art style isn't just like that kind of cartoony-ish thing.
Yeah.
And not that that's fine, but I mean, you know, WoW did it, Guild Wars 2 did it. That was a big thing I didn't really like with, even SWTOR did it.
Yeah.
Kind of unnecessarily, like, yeah, it looks like...
Even ESO is going to be a little, like,
exactly.
It's like Elder Scrolls, but a little cartoony.
And it's like, yeah, it's like, because it's like, well, it can't look as good, so we'll do this. And, like, somehow Final Fantasy just looks like a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice, you know?
Yeah.
And the music is fantastic.
Yeah, the soundtrack is great.
I love it. Yeah, you're, like, I'm constantly just discovering new songs that I love.
Honestly, the only thing I've done in the game so far that I really don't like is there's certain quests that have you...
Like, use emotes?
Yeah, it's really dumb.
What I've done is, like, I found out what the three emotes are, and I've just put them on my hotbar.
Yeah, but, like, especially if you are playing with a controller...
Yeah, it's kind of a pain.
It's so hard. Like, I just did one, and I did it with a mouse and keyboard. I can't imagine it with a controller. You have an NPC you had to escort,
yeah,
but he didn't just follow you. You had to, like, walk 20 feet and beckon him.
You have to set the beckon emote.
Yeah, it's really goofy. I don't like that.
It's kind
of
weird.
Especially because there is, like, a list of all the emotes, but it's not alphabetical.
Yeah, which it's very get. Random.
It's just a
big list.
List of emotes.
It's a pretty big list.
I don't know why anybody never said it. At any point in development, this is a little cumbersome.
And there's just, like, little touches. Like I said, I love that when you buy something from the auction house, it just goes into your inventory. You don't have to, like, go to your mail.
Yeah, yeah.
And pick it up. And, you know, you can dye your clothes and stuff like that.
Well, that'll be good. Because for a while, I was, like, wearing, like, baby blue high boots and red jacket and green gloves.
And I like the story, too, so far.
Yeah.
And it's cool because they're, like, the main story. And then, like, also, like your class will have a story. And you kind of go through that and stuff. I'm very, very impressed.
Yeah, I want to say, too, like, after watching you play the PS3 version, like, I just did, like, Steam Big Picture Mode on my TV and ran it there. And it's so nice to play an MMO, like, kick back in a couch with a wireless controller.
Are you surprised that WoW never did a console version?
Oh, no, just because it doesn't lend itself to it. That'd be such a hard thing to translate.
Yeah, because
you have, like, six hotbars worth of abilities when you're max level.
It is crazy heavy on the... I'm surprised Guild Wars 2 never did, because it doesn't...
Guild Wars 2 could have done it. They could have pulled that off, maybe.
Maybe-ish. But yeah, very high on Final Fantasy 14. And now that the server thing is kind of solved with, it's kind of very easy to recommend now, too, so...
Yes, hooray.
If you want to check it out, I would recommend it.
That's nice, too, that there is the $15 a month subscription, but if you're cool with just having one character,
and
it's, what, $13
or
$12 a month?
Why not? Because you can do all the classes, which is nice, too, because you don't have to watch that intro every time. It is kind of a long intro and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right, what else have we been playing? Killzone, which my review went up today.
Killzone Mercenaries.
And it's interesting, because, like... If you just, like, judge that as a shooter, it's not, like, great.
But as a Vita shooter.
But as, like, more specifically as a portable shooter, like, man, it looks good. Like, it, like, works well. Like, and, you know, it feels like any sort of twin-stick shooter since Halo, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It mechanically, it's just awesome.
I mean, all I've played is the multiplayer so far, but it's really
good. It's like you're playing, you know, an online multiplayer. It's like playing Call of Duty or whatever.
And I've always liked Killzone's multiplayer mode where... It's like, it just keeps switching the mode mid-match. I've always enjoyed that, so it's really cool to have.
And there are, like, some neat things, like, with... And, like, I like how everything's based on, like, money, because you're a mercenary. And, like, so, like, leveling up on multiplayer is based on money. You don't, like... There's no weapon drops. You don't find weapons. You have to buy everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the whole money thing is important. Like, the campaign was pretty terrible, story-wise. I mean, it's fine in giving you an excuse to go shoot things in some nice environments, but, like, you know, it's like this weird... There's a war, and you fight for both sides. You're constantly double-crossed, and there's, like, a British orphan kid who, like, you're supposed to feel sorry for, but who cares?
Yeah.
And it was, like, 3 hours long, too. But it's basically a nice way to get money and unlock some weapons. And there's, like, the vanguards, which are kind of like the kill streaks, except you can even use them single-player. And they're like, things from, like, aerial strikes. And, like, the one that was really cool is you get, like, these shoulder missiles, and to launch them, if there's an enemy on the screen, there'll be a red circle on them. You just tap, and it kind of attacks them. So it was neat. So, you know, it's a really cool showpiece for the Vita. It would have been, you know, retrospect, would have been cool to have that at launch. It's like, show people, look at this.
That would have been nice.
But, you know what, by all accounts, you had, like, that Call of Duty game, which was terrible. So it's nice that we have this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, cool, like, let's do more stuff like this then.
Yeah, it makes me actually really excited for Borderlands 2 on this
right,
thing.
Right, exactly, because, like, if this works, why not?
Also, I guess we should say, like, this is the first time we've ever used, like, the Vita's party system. Which I was pleasantly surprised by. Like, it actually has, like, speakerphone voice chat and stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of... Yeah, I haven't really, like, done much... I've done some PlayStation Battle All-Stars, whatever the hell that's called on there. Pass Blue Ribbon. But it was fun stuff.
Yeah, very good.
How much of this am I allowed to talk about? I don't know. Kingdom Hearts 1.5. I don't know if I can talk too much about it.
Michael, do you like the Kingdom Hearts 1?
I do like the Kingdom Hearts game. I'll just say this. The HD-fying was very well done.
Okay.
I'll say that so far.
I've been playing more DuckTales.
Yeah.
Which is freaking great. It's just so good.
It does look really nice. It's interesting because I know that Castle Illusion is out now.
Yeah, well, so once I finish DuckTales, I'll probably just move on and get that.
It's interesting reading the reviews for both games, because like, basically it's just all about how much the person liked the original game. Because anybody who writes a negative review about
there's a bell curve, because then there's the people who like the original too much.
Oh, they can't
The remake will never live up to it.
Oh, God.
That happened more with DuckTales, it seems.
Yeah, I can believe that, for sure. We got Rayman Legends, haven't started that yet.
Yes.
We got Wii U version, of course. Apparently the Vita version was missing some levels, and then they're patching them in later.
Yeah, which is, it's just weird that they weren't up front with that.
Yeah. I would almost like to have that as a Vita game, if it wasn't for the whole, you know, I have to have the Wii U.
Actually, you know what has me excited? Apparently Rayman Origins is going to become a PlayStation Plus game for Vita this month.
That's cool. But the Vita version of it didn't have multiplayer, right?
No, but it did have the ability for you to just tap things on the touchscreen that, like, would have required the help of another person.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I always heard that Vita version was good, so. All right, maybe play anything else?
No.
Because I've been playing a lot.
I got Madden. I haven't played it yet.
Right. Well,
again, I got my NFL Sunday ticket, and there's a Madden inside, so
there was I'll get to that at some point. All right, so I guess at PAX, and this is kind of going to the topic I brought up on the community page, Chu was conducting like a kind of interview thing at like one of the panels with Gabe and Tycho, and he like said they had any regrets.
Chu is your boss.
Chu is my boss. Chu is that girl or something. Anyways, look.
Racism.
God damn Asians. So I guess he having regrets, and Gabe said pulling the Dick Wolf shirt. And the Dick Wolf thing was a whole controversy where he had like a comic.
3 years ago.
And it was like, it was like, oh, Dick Wolves rape me at night, and everything. It was a thing because some people don't like jokes about rape.
They actually stole that joke from you.
Well, they stole the other joke from me, the whole stopping at freeing just 10 slaves.
Right.
Which, the real crime is still overlooked here, by the way. I figure that comic is super, like, significant for no god. Anyways. But, you know, that was 3 years ago, and this whole thing, and this kind of brought it back, because then, like, of course, everyone cheered. And at first I thought it was going to be this whole thing, because, like...
Like, oh, here we go again.
You know what it is? It's like, you follow the same 10 people on Twitter who always make a big deal about it, and they always kind of write a blog about it, you know? But the thing, like, some of the... And I don't want to be like, look, if this does offend you and you think it's important, that's cool, then, you know, speak up. But it does become a thing like, you get kind of tired of hearing about it, especially this thing is 3 years old now.
Right.
And the weird thing was, like, there are some people at the time saying, how can anybody support PAX? And if you go to PAX, you're a bad person. You have to go somewhere else. And, you know, it's like, geez. And my thing is, like, do we really think that, like, Gabe loves rape? Is that really what it's about?
Yeah.
And there's just so many things.
Well, it's the same thing with the rape joke at the Xbox One event.
Right. And that thing was even, like, I don't know if it was. Like, you know, again, and my thing has always been, you know, everyone, like, how can you make people feel uncomfortable? And my thing's like, you know, there are worse things than being felt uncomfortable or feeling uncomfortable. You just kind of have to move on sometimes. And, you know, some people want to fight it, and that's, like, the thing they want to get involved with, and that's fine. But basically, I asked everybody what they thought about this, and it seemed like most people were kind of like on the whole, we're over a thing, people overreact. You know, not so much here, but it was freaking good. David Jaffe, of all people, actually dropped a good point. He's like, you know, he's like, do you really think that, like, he is condoning rape? Because no one would actually think that. And he was talking about, look, there are a lot of comedians who make jokes about rape, like, C.K. Lewis, you know, he has jokes about rape.
Louis C.K.,
whatever his name is. You know, like the Wanda girl, who, you know, people, you know, comedians do this. You know, and I guess it's like some people argue, you know, you can make fun of anything, some people say you can't. The only person who really seemed kind of against Penny Arcade in our thread was, let me see, this went off for quite a while, was Callan. Krajko, is that how we say it?
I'm not positive.
No, sorry, Callan. But he doesn't really keep, not so much rape joke, but he doesn't like the way Gabe kind of reacts to things, where he becomes very defensive and kind of fights it. And even this time, it seems like they kind of got the idea where they just need to
shut up.
Talk about it. Yeah, because they didn't say anything about it. Like, Gabe did not write a post on Penny Arcade because people were upset again about it. But it seems, by and large, like, I thought this was going to be a thing again, and I even, like, saw, like, people doing, why aren't all the websites reporting on this? Because Kotaku was, like, the one who wrote a big thing, and it was that Patricia Hernandez girl.
Yes.
And that's what makes me get paused sometimes and wonder if I'm just wrong, because so many of the women that I kind of like in Games of the Limbs, they always do talk about it. And obviously, it's an issue that hits closer to home with them. And I hate telling them, like, look, you're being dumb. Because, I mean, I don't know what it's like for them. But it just, you know, it's hard for me to take it seriously anymore. With everything going on. And again, the idea that PAX is a bad, toxic environment. I've been to PAX. PAX is great.
Anything but.
Right. PAX is nothing but good for the industry. So don't, you know, and I'll have... Penny Arcade is very good for the industry.
Yeah, like, who's the one... There's the one indie game.
Gone Home, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, it kind of proves my point, because I can't remember what it was. Like, oh, we no longer feel comfortable going to PAX, so we don't go. And I want to say, you know, great, that's your prerogative. But guess what? I have no idea what your game is now.
Hey, Jay, Gone Home did pretty well.
I don't even know. Which one is it?
It's like, I don't know.
Is it out?
It had a lot of buzz, yeah.
It's out?
Going Home. Yeah, it's out. You never heard about this? Everyone's freaking out about it? No. Well, trust me, you're being weird here.
I am being weird.
Because Gone Home actually was a big deal.
What's the game about?
I don't know.
Like, how's it play?
It's like an arty, it's an artsy game. I didn't play it yet, but people were talking about
it. Okay, I mean...
It's either Gone Home or Going Home. I forget. But it did fine for itself, despite not being at PAX. But, you know, again, I don't... I'm generally not a political person, so I kind of always hate when these things
become
sort of political. But, okay, but I was kind of happy because I thought it was going to be a thing, and then it actually kind of didn't.
So, good job.
There was kind of a local... I guess it was a vocal minority, and I was getting ready for this shitstorm to happen again. But, all right. Releases then, huh?
Yes.
So thanks for that great discussion there, everybody. I was surprised that so many people jumped in on that. And, Callan, nobody hates you for disagreeing with everybody. Except for me. I'm going to write me things. I'm going to write he's dumb right now.
No.
No. I almost did it.
Yeah, don't do it. Okay. That could be misconstrued.
Total War, Rome 2 on PC.
Apparently,
some issues. This game patched already.
Yeah, it has its AI.
I'm turning.
Is really slow to act.
Oh, really?
That's like Total War games. In addition, like, you know, everyone knows about the thousands of player army things, whatever. But there is like the kind of Civ aspect of the game. So I guess like you'll take your turn. It'll take you maybe 30 seconds. And then the AI takes 5 minutes.
Weird.
And then you may have a turn where you just don't do anything, so then you wait another 5 minutes.
This sort of deep, like, PC strategy game has never been my thing.
No, I want to like those games because the concept is cool, like these giant armies clashing, but it's a little much.
Castle of Illusion, the HD version for Xbox 360. I don't know if it's out on anything
else. Yeah, it's out on other stuff, too.
Okay, so that's on, yeah. Rayman Legends Wii U listed here. Did it come out?
It's everything else, yeah.
Diablo 3, PS3, and 360. I want to try this.
Yeah, it's on Redbox, apparently, so we're going to try to get it this weekend.
I don't want
to
own it. But it does... A lot of people say this is the best version of the game, and I can kind of believe it. Because it's like, why not? Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate for 360 and PS3.
Okay.
Which one was... Is that the last one?
I don't know. I've given up that series.
I never really was there to begin with Dead or Alive, to be honest.
Okay.
It's like a game... You never see, like, the Evo Dead or Alive tournament, huh?
No.
What's this Atelier Miruru plus the Apprentice of Arlen for Vita? I actually saw some pictures of this game.
No idea.
It's obviously a very Japanese game.
No!
It looked pretty, so who knows. Okay, that seems like it. Another One Piece game. I swear to God, like, One Piece, like, Naruto and, like, something else are like, it's game. Like, Dragon Ball Z seems to kind of be slowing down.
Finally, yeah.
After, I think, like, Dragon Ball Z Connect was like, that was them jumping the shark. It's like, what do you do now?
That's when they jumped the shark.
You know what? I had that Dragon Ball Z game for Saturn.
That's like the one
we imported. It was cool, because like, it was, because for a while there were a bunch of like 2D Dragon Ball Z games that were kind of similar, and this was like basically like, the super version of it that had like all the characters. That was awesome. That was a game. Although there was the Tenkaichi games were okay. Budokai Tenkaichi was a little weirder.
Yes.
But then after that, I don't know what they were doing.
Right.
I assume they
whatever,
still make
off in La La Land.
Yeah. Alrighty. All right, I guess it's a show then, huh?
It is a show.
All right, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can also follow us at Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel and at Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. And go to our Google Plus community. We'll be sure to start some more conversations on there about things other than dick wolves. Unless you'd rather talk about dick wolves or any other kind of wolf.
All right.
It could be just like a nice puppy wolf. It doesn't have dicks. So then I guess that's the show. Go to iTunes Music Store, leave a review, and we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye.
Bye.